Hey everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about episode 6 of season 9, which is called episode 100, because me labeling all of the episodes incorrectly in the back wasn't confusing enough already. We decided we're just going to throw a third number on there to screw with Ty. I'm joined as always by Michelle Lovely and Slow Beef Hanging.
Hey.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, man. So last time we ended on what was like, if this was a series of slasher films, what would have been the ending of like part one, I suppose, right? Of like, bad things have happened, the killers got away, so on and so forth. Brooke is being booked for all the crimes, this, that, the other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this episode is all of the setup for the second movie. And buddy, you're going to hate it. You're going to hate every bit of setup because everything they do sucks. All the characters they change sucks. Like,
yeah,
you're going to look me in the eyes and be like, Ty, they couldn't have made Brooke more boring. And I'm like, bad news, Buster. They found a way.
It's all bad. Yeah, I agree. It's real, real bad.
Yeah, really no upside to any of the payoffs. Like, I would say any, and I'm saying air quotes around payoffs extremely. Anything that might have been interesting about where the last episode left off will either not be relevant or will have a payoff that will have you either scratching your head or being like, well, that sucked. That sucked and was boring.
it's like you'll get all your questions answered and you'll hate every single answer, you know, but it's wild how they did like a perfect 10 on that. Like, there's not one like follow up where I'm like, okay, that's a good idea. Or, oh, I'm interested to hear more about that. It's all crap.
There was even one that I was willing to like rock with for a bit and be like, you know what? I'm glad this guy had figured it out because he's been through a lot. And then like, then I just got mad because that's not what Satan is. There's a lot of confusion about what Satan is in the Christian Bible, if I feel like, in this show. And that's been, you know, here and there throughout the seasons. But I think in this episode, it really comes to a head of like, Satan's not like the king of hell. He's not like the boss of hell. He got put there. He doesn't like being there. I think that's like, that's going to come up a couple times. So just like keep that in mind, dear listener.
He is like, at best, he's like a middle manager, like who still has to answer to corporate. Like he is at best like a middle manager who like maybe delegates some tasks amongst the other demons, but like probably not running the show.
Well, it's also like, you know, we're not hurting for like any interpretations of Satan as a character. You know what I mean? Like where if you're like, hey, how about some alternate depictions of Satan? Like there's fucking crazy amounts of those, you know? This is just sort of like, what if he's like a generic villain? The king of horror, you know, who like all killers like. You know what I mean? And that's it. We don't really have much beyond that. Maybe sometimes he gives them magic to help him out, you know? Like a medieval like goddess you pray to for like healing or crops or something.
Like you're a
you know?
Warlock yeah. And he's your patron. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I was gonna say, like, unironically, if they just replaced Richard Ramirez for like a different random guy, and instead of it being like it's all for Satan, be like, it's for a great evil, this show would kind of all work. Like I don't think it would be a good show, but like narratively it would hold together a lot better.
Yeah.
The anthology stuff would work great too if you had like some weirdo villain, like some demon, you know, I don't know, like Pazuzu or whatever. Like in Hereditary, it works great because it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know this demon, like Paimon, you know what I mean? So it's like interesting and mysterious
yeah.
and
yeah,
scary.
Yeah, I don't know what he's got going on. What is right. He seems interesting. What's his deal?
Yeah.
And then it's like fun for the viewers because in the later episodes, you see the gold statue show up in the background and you go, oh, fuck, it's happening again.
Right.
Like that kind of thing, too. Right. Like if there's like a great evil that leaves behind traces and the protagonists and the viewers start to learn to like see those traces. Yeah, it's like a fun thing, especially for an anthology series that's been running as long as this has. Right. Like you get to be rewarded for recognizing, oh, shit, it's that thing from season one. on without them feeling the need to be like, hey, everybody, it's me, Ben from season one here. In case you forgot who I was, here's my whole deal.
Yeah.
Which is like what they do anytime a callback character shows up.
Right. No, absolutely.
What is an anthology? They say as they make their, what is this, ninth season of their anthology show? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of torn. So like I personally, like this is just a personal preference, but like I am a hater when it comes to when a horror movie's like answer is like, and the bad guy was Satan. To me it feels like a cop out because it feels like it's like appealing to the lowest common denominator of people who might be watching it of like, ooh, what's the scariest thing anyone could think of? Well, everybody hates Satan because Satan's like the worst and the scariest. So like, it's Satan.
Recently, Long Legs did that.
Yes.
And I remember this one criticism, which totally encapsulated for me. Like on it was on Blue's, it was like a post that was just like, are people actually still afraid of Satan? Which is like, yeah, it is crazy that, like,
Long Legs is, like, the reason why I bring it up is because, like, Long Legs is one of, like, five various movies that have come out recently where, like, oh, the reveal is that it was actually Satan the whole time, that Satan was pulling the strings. And I'm like, that made this movie 80% more lame. Like, all of the, any credence this movie had, any street cred, gone. Like, this movie's no longer cool. It's lame now. The other thing is that
one of the things I love, the gold statue that I was referencing is like a thing in Earthbound of just it. The thing that's great is not only is it like a connection to a strange extra dimensional evil or whatever that you can think about, but also it leaves it up to the viewer to think, is this just people being really fucking greedy? Is this adults just being nightmare people as they tend to be sometimes?
Like
it leaves that up in the air, right?
Yeah.
Is this human or is this a weird force? Yeah.
Even The Exorcist, which like, you know, is basically a Catholic priest exorcising a demon, is like dodgy about what it actually is. Like it is supernatural. It's definitely a demon. Like things are going on, but we're not saying it's Satan for sure. And you know what I mean? And it's better that way because it's scarier. It's like you don't really have you can't wrap your arms even as a viewer of what's going on exactly. But once you make it Satan, it's like, oh, it's a guy with the devil horns and the red jumps. I got it. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, like it's crazy.
I
want to
say like the last time I saw something that like it straight up, because like to be clear, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, well, you guys are talking about like, oh, any kind of demon. No. Like, I'm okay with like a demon being like the bad guy.
Yeah.
Sinister, Bring Her Back, like all Hereditary. They all have demon TM as their like bad guy. And it's fine because that's like a stand in for just like a monster, basically. But a movie that just has like straight up dead ass Satan as the bad guy,
right.
A is just really, really boring because that's just like John bad guy. That's like making Jesus the superhero of your movie. That's like kind of lame.
I was going to say, that's the big thing for me is it's just like, you know, one name, you know, like, like at least you could be like, ah, it's actually Asmodeus this time and everyone's too horny and it's a problem. Or like Beelzebub. And then it's someone who just like can't stop doing consuming stuff or whatever. Like, Satan is just such a boring pick. There's so many cool demons. There's like a whole book. There's like multiple books of these guys.
And
they sound
cool. And like if you used a different one that had like a name that wasn't one of the ones that people like use a lot in their horror, you have a little bit of intrigue because people will be like, oh, well, I've never heard of that one before. And maybe they'll even like Google it and be like, oh, that's a real demon or whatever. Like,
also, like, I still think Mammon hits. I think just having it be Mammon is cool. Like, I think that's like the second most common one. I still like it.
A layer deeper, even if this wasn't, like, even if I didn't feel that way about the Satan thing, their last season of this television show was about Satan explicitly. So I don't need two seasons in a row where Satan plays a primary role in like controlling one of the characters. And the fact that they brought back Richard Ramirez, and I do mean brought back because he was in season five for some reason, like they brought him back and were like, oh, and Satan's also going to give him superpowers. Like, you just had a season where Satan gave somebody superpowers. Why are we doing it twice in a row? And why are you bringing Richard Ramirez into it?
So also, I think the other really big problem with bringing in the devil from the Bible, right? Because that's what they're referencing, is specifically the devil from the Bible. That's who they want.
Yep.
If you imply the devil from the Bible, regrettably, you also imply in your universe as a known and understood thing, God from the Bible. And that, like, has a whole series of fucking implications. Like, if you can prove God, which you would be able to if the devil from the Bible existed and functioned like he does in the Bible, there's so many things you gotta change. There's so many things you gotta change. And the fact that, like, nobody does that is, like, really bothersome, and it kind of hangs like a cloud over the whole thing of just, like, so Is God here? Did he forget? Like, what is the
is God
the
in this Applebee's tonight? I feel God in this Applebee's tonight. Also, there's no, like, they don't, because, like, going back to, like, what Slow Beef said a few minutes ago about, like, The Exorcist, for example, the reason why I think The Exorcist is a little more interesting than the average thing, besides the fact that it's not just straight up like, oh, we know this is the devil, is that usually, in, like, The Exorcist, for example, you have a character that is, in fact, like, fighting on the side of quote-unquote God as, like, a protagonist. So there actually is, like, an equal matchup. Whereas in both Apocalypse and this season, I had to remember what the name of the season was, 1984, there's not really, like, a God analog to, like, fight the Satan person in either of the seasons. It's just there's a guy who is affiliated with Satan from the Bible, and he's just there, and everyone else who's just a regular person has to deal with it. Everyone else is dealing with the Satan guy who does not have, like, a Jesus slash priest counterpart. It's just there's a Satan guy and then everybody else.
If they made him effective, it would be such a problem, right? Like, if there was this guy who was, like, Infinite Revives Turbo Murder Champion who just, like, ran around getting people constantly and getting picked up, that would be the whole show, right? Would just be focused on that. So they had to make him suck so bad at this.
Well, that, I mean, you'd have basically Friday the 13th again, which is, like, kind of what I thought, like, the thrust of the season was going to be, right? Or, like, what you would have thought it would be, right? Where it's, like, 1984, it's going to be, like, a slasher thing. We're going to have a villain picking people off with interesting stories, but they're just like, nah, we're doing our own thing here, and also Satan's involved, which is
best I can do is 8 serial killers and 1 really boring final girl. Is this anything? We're doing serial killer Smash Brothers, and also one of them's a real guy and also has Satan superpowers. I hate it.
You know what? It's slightly better. Do you remember one of the Nightmare on Elm Streets? I think it was the one in 3D. I think it was Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. When it turns out, like, Freddy asked, like, 3 Greek gods of dreams for the powers.
Hell yeah. Yes,
yeah,
I do.
It's like, right.
What?
But, you know,
they
kind of
did the same thing with Halloween, too, where they were like, actually, Michael Myers was summoned by, like, a religious zealot cult who wanted the personification of evil to exist or something.
Whenever they try to explain, like, a horror movie villain that's been around for a while, it, like, never goes well, right? Because it's always, and Nightmare on Elm Street, I won't even get into some of them because they're kind of creepy and weird, but, like, they keep trying to explain Freddy and just fucking it up. But the magnum opus to me is yeah, Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, where apparently there's, like, 3, I don't think it was, like, the dreams or the fates or anything, but there's, like, 3 Greek whatever that, like, are little monster guys, and he asked them for the power to control dreams, and they give it to him. It's wild.
They're like, we like it when you do this, actually.
Yeah.
That reminds me of, I think, it, Liz, you were the one who told me about this first, the fucking Ring novelization.
Oh, God,
where
yeah.
Where it turns out it's, like, a mutated disease or something.
Yes,
the Ring novelization is, like, the master class of, like, what are we doing here anymore? Like, what's happening now? Like, he's like, okay, and it's, like, later, it's virtual reality. Which
yeah,
is,
thank you,
but,
computer. My computer's sick. It's got a virus, and the virus is going to kill me in 7 days.
But it's smallpox, though. It's okay. Yeah. It's smallpox, but it'll kill you in 7 days. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a mutation of smallpox and the girl's DNA. Right. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I love
the mistake
it. I
a lot
it.
Of directors made in that period was that computer can never really be scary. Computer can be at worst very disappointing. So trying to make something scary on computer just never works out. Even if you make it, there's a whole video game. There's an MMO about Hellraiser, and we're throwing a party for the MMO.
Yeah, they got pretty close with like 2001 A Space Odyssey, which like some people would argue isn't a horror movie, but like it, I mean, horror is subjective, I suppose.
You can do. I think like Routine, the video game, does pretty well with like a like big robot trying to kill you, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
but I get what
I
you
guess
mean.
It's less.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's less that like a thing controlled by computer can't be scary. It's less that and more if you take a pre-existing horror thing and put it on the computer.
Yeah.
That inherently makes it less scary. Right. Yeah, like if you take Hellraiser with like the guys who like rip you apart and put pins in you and are like, this is good for us. Mm-hmm. And then instead you make it an MMO, I'm just not as worried than if like a weird guy shows up and is like, I came. Like that's like a whole ordeal. Right?
Wait, does that happen in one of the Hellraisers? Oh, gosh.
Hellworld? Where it's an MMO?
Yeah.
And they go to a house party for the MMO? Yeah,
oh,
man.
Boy.
That was the first Hellraiser movie I saw.
Oh, boy. I never knew about this. I barely saw the Hellraiser. Yeah. Oh, no.
That's why when people were like, oh, Hellraiser's so good, I was like, are you sure? And I went and saw the first one, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I get it now.
Yeah, wildly different experience. All this just makes me want to watch the movie Stay Alive from, like, I don't know, 2003, 2001, whenever that movie came out, where it's like, what if you play the video game and if you die in the game, you die real life. Oh, I missed that movie so much. It was peak. Not in like
I
a good way,
it.
But it was peak.
Was that the one where like the guy, the adult guy, was like a prisoner who was like fighting for his, and they like did Death Race?
No, I think
and there
that's
was, like,
Gamer.
A teenager controlling him.
I think that's the movie
oh,
called
that Gamer.
Gamer.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Which is like.
Sorry, conflating my bad video game movies.
Kind of similar. No, this one was like, we know what the kids like and how they play video games. So it showed like all like six of like the main characters who were all in like their 20s sitting in a room with a bunch of televisions, like doing like a quote-unquote LAN party, but it's all TVs, and like as soon as they like loaded in, all of them as people were already loaded in as characters, and then each one as they would die in the game would die the same way in real life because they were being haunted by the ghost of Chex Notes Elizabeth Bathory, which is a wild pull.
Did Elizabeth Bathory game?
Yeah. It turns out huge gamer Elizabeth Bathory. It's kind of like her whole deal.
That's my problem is if you brought a serial killer ghost to video games, I think they would stop serial killing. I think they would be like, whoa, this is way more fun than what I was doing. this is way better. Holy shit.
Yeah, but before I forget, because I've been sitting on this rage for about 10 minutes, one thing that I really hate about this season, more than probably anything else, is that it's called 1984, and we're halfway through this season, and we're about to leave 1984 for forever. We're never going to see 1984 again. The rest of the season's going to take place in 1985 through 1989. And we're never going to see 1984 again. So fuck me, I guess, for having the title of this be 1984, because that's not even what the whole season is.
Incredible.
Incredible. Oh, I got so mad at the very beginning of this episode, which is where we're at.
Like, truly, you have one job if your story has, or if your title is like a year, and that's finish the main story within that year.
Because, like, it 1984 doesn't even, like, play into anything. We've not even, like, done anything this season that's, like, relevant to 1984. It's not like a bunch of stuff happened in 1984. The setup for this fucking season doesn't even happen in 1984. It happens in the 70s. So, like, 1984 is not a particularly, important year in the season.
Also, as marketing brain for a second, 1984 is not a good thing to name your piece of media.
True.
There's already a piece of media with that name.
Yeah.
You should you not know, let that hold the spot.
That's a great point, actually. Thank you. I didn't even hit on that.
I assumed that's what they were going for, is that they were like, oh, get it? Like, 1984, like, the book. Like, get it? We've seen it. But then, like, the actual season has fucking fuck all to do with that. So, like, there's no way that that's a thing. And it's not even, like, a clever nod to, like, oh, secretly, that's been the story beneath all this, like, 25 serial killer plot lines. Like, no, it's just... part of the season happens to take place in 1984, and they bought the license to a bunch of 1980s music, and, like, that's it. That's all of it. That's the extent of the connection. Mm.
God damn it, Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk. You can't name your band Huey Lewis in the News. There's already a band with the name Huey Lewis in the News, and neither of you are named Huey Lewis, so what's the point?
Fucking real.
And then, yeah.
But all right, so let's, the episode? We've yapped for 20 minutes, which, hey, you know, that's... Sometimes that's how you gotta start. So, yeah, 1985. That is the title card at the beginning of this episode. God, unbelievable, truly. Like, they didn't even wait for it. And then we see someone is in a motel, and yeah, this is also really annoying. They show a slow panning intro shot of, like, a very typical outdoor-faced motel with, like, a pool with a bunch of rooms, all with their door directly facing the pool. So, like, no internal hallways or anything, right? Like, the definition of, like, a motel-ass motel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next scene is immediately in a hallway in a gigantic hotel, which is just, like, confusing why they did that. More than anything, like, they wanted it to seem, like, sleazy and dangerous or whatever. Like, the implication of, like, a motel is less safe than a hotel. But then, yeah, they were like, eh. Yeah, let's film it inside. It's cold out.
Like,
let's
not do that. The literal only thing I can think, which, like, they had FX money, so this doesn't even really make any sense, because they are on season 9 and they have FX money, because that's the network it was airing on. Like, the only thing I can think of is that the motel shot was, like, stock footage, and then they have a set for hotel because they had hotel. So, like, that motel shot, like, isn't even, like, their recording. It's just B-roll or whatever.
That's what I was thinking.
Which is just stupid.
That's probably right. Now that you say it, yeah.
I think, though, they probably did have FX money, but you know what costs a lot is a lot of licensed music for your fucking show.
So guess what? The 55 licensed songs per episode that they put in, yeah.
It's a nice day for a big
payout. This
episode
is all... this episode is literally all set up and an excuse to use, like, four different disparate 80s songs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, four is a very conservative estimate, because, like, this opening sequence alone swaps, like, six different songs. Like, six different tapes get put in just this opening sequence. And then other songs will happen later, which might just be repeats, but there's at least one that's, like, another unique song later. I remember thinking every time a new one popped up, like, damn, that one has to be pretty expensive. Damn, that one's definitely got to be pretty expensive. Damn, they got the license to that one? Not in, like, an impressed way, but in a, holy shit, you guys are wasting a lot of money for something that nobody fucking cares about in this television show. Like, it doesn't make the show cooler. It doesn't make it more immersive, because none of the songs fit, like, naturally. It's just... yeah, this character's putting in a tape to listen to a song. Now this character's putting in a tape to listen to a song.
Hey, kids, do you think Paranoid by Black Sabbath is sick? So do we.
So does Richard Ramirez.
So does Richard Ramirez, but music icon and legend. But and you know what, too? There's a part coming up right now, or not right now, actually, in a minute, where, like, two characters have their own songs and neither of them really match, but we'll get there. But, like, right now, someone in the motel is blasting Billy Idol, and this German tourist couple is hanging out in the motel bed, and it's like, ah, was ist los? It's too loud, you know? And the wife goes out to complain, like, so she's like, kind of goes through, and it's Richard Ramirez when she knocks on the door. He's causing a ruckus, and she's like, we have to get up early for Disneyland, the way just like how people talk, you know, when you complain about the noise, like, let me tell you about my plans tomorrow that you're ruining. So he's like, aren't you guys French anyway? It's like, no, we're German. And he's like, listen, Billy Idol, you got to play him full throttle. Why don't you come into my room? He's like, no, I'm good. Then he grabs at her and tries to pull her in. And Mr. Jingles is like, you knock it off. I'm trying to sleep, from inside the room, except he's wearing a towel. Like, he just came out of the shower, so he's not trying.
That's
to
what's confusing to me. I sleep in the shower. Yeah, he's like, I need to get my sleep, I say, coming out of the tub.
I sleep in there. I like sleeping in the bathtub. That's what they call me, Mr. Tub. Wait, I'm being handed a note.
Wearing a big, tall chef hat and a cook's apron and gloves. I'd be like, I was going to bed.
That's literally a Simpsons joke, like, that they're doing for real. Like, you'll have to excuse me, I'm wearing a towel. Like, you know, you get it, doesn't make sense. That's the joke. But here, they're just doing it. And you're like, no, that doesn't make sense, Mr. Jingles. What the fuck are you talking about? But
do you think they just didn't know what to dress him in because he couldn't be in, like, the janitor outfit anymore? So they were like, fuck it. He wears a towel. He's naked. He's naked. That's his new deal.
And thank you for pointing this out, Liz, because Ramirez, I missed it. Ramirez goes, stay out of this key, man. Which, like, super hard to hear. And second, like, I missed that. And it's like, oh, because Mr. Jingles has keys, right? But, like, nobody's making that connection. Get the hell out of here, you know?
No one's calling him key, man.
Seriously. Yeah.
Me when I see Sora from Kingdom Hearts. Get out of here, key, man. Yeah, also, like, the implication is that he's still doing the keys thing, which is, like, A, I think a pretty easy way to get caught. It'd be like, you know, like if John Wayne Gacy just walked around with the clown makeup on or something. Like,
also, he declared himself no longer Mr. Jingles. He threw the keys at Margaret and was like, you're Mr. Jingles, bitch, and left. Like, he's not Mr. Jingles anymore.
He's also, like, still a wanted man. Like, even, like, the whole thing being pinned on Brooke, like, notwithstanding, he still did, like, escape an asylum, and they do still think he killed those kids, like, 15 years ago. So, like, he's definitely still, like, a wanted man, regardless of whether he actually killed those kids 15 years ago, because the police don't know that. So it seems like if he is still doing the keys thing, A, why, and B, pretty easy way to get caught, I think, is if you're just walking around making your own, like, your own jingling terror radius every time you walk down a hallway. It's just baffling they've even continued to still do the keys thing. Because, like, this won't be the last time in this episode where they're like, Mr. Jingles. Like, I'm Mr. Jingles. Like, no, you're not. Like, the keys weren't anything. The keys literally
weren't keys anything. Mode. Liz, you just don't understand men. I'm going keys mode.
Oh, that's fair.
Going John Wick keys mode.
Going keys mode. What Mozart said before he went absolutely apeshit bonkers bananas on the piano.
Oh, Lord in heaven. Yeah, so essentially Mr. Jingles starts kind of giving Richard Ramirez some guff about, like, dog, you just kill people indiscriminately. Like, you don't even keep track of them. What's your deal? Which, like, it's so strange to have Mr. Jingles be like, you're not even being a little bit professional with the way you serial kill. And it's like, well, since when are you high and mighty about this shit? What do you mean? Like, you just said, like, I'm not really a killer. I'm not into this. And now you're over here leaving fucking bad Yelp reviews for Richard Ramirez. Like, sloppy shit. Just kind of kills whoever. Doesn't make any fucking sense. Doesn't even remember who it counts, you know?
Yeah, right?
Oh, my God. And then Ramirez is just like, oh, it's fine. I gotta kill. Satan loves when I do this. And he's like, what do you mean? I don't want to kill people anymore. And then Ramirez is like, you can't because you gave your soul to Satan, so you have to keep killing. And I guess you have to trust me. Does Satan not talk to you still? Just me? Like, it's
the spoiler, though, too, is like, yeah, not really. Because, like, you know, Ramirez, like, you got it. Although there'll be hell to pay. And Jingle's like, yeah, whatever. And then spoiler for the rest of the episode, nah, he's still on board with, like, nah, I'm not going to kill anybody. It's fine. And he is. Like, he gets away, I mean, at least for a few years. But, like, Satan's not like, oh, yeah, you can't take a one-up and not give me some death. He's just like, yeah, that's whatever.
Also,
I guess,
to be, like, 100% clear, in case people don't remember, Mr. Jingles didn't, like, make a deal with Satan. Richard Ramirez revived
Good.
Mr. Jingles.
Great
and
point.
And was like, you now work for Satan. And he's like, okay, I guess, like, you brought me back from the dead, so I guess I have to believe you, because it did work. Also, this will be one of, I think, four times this episode. They did it in previous episodes, but this time they do it four fucking times, where Richard Ramirez will say something, and then they'll have the background go, Satan, 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 Satan. Like, that's fucking anything, and not the, it is such a, like, it's Saturday annoying. Night Live ass bit. It is the funniest fucking thing, because, like, they clearly want it to be cool, but it is such a fucking bit ass thing.
No, it's terrible.
It's also, like, the equivalent of, if every time you decided to do something that was, like, foreshadowing for a supernatural occurrence, instead of there being, like, a slight tell, you had the guy go to the camera and go, Satan's gonna do this one, actual. Like, it doesn't hit the same.
Those, like, YouTube jump scare countdowns, you know, that are, like, helpful, but here it's in your horror movie. Like, magic thing coming in 10.
Yeah, like, they're like, we want you to know that Satan is real, and also if you're, like, I guess a harbinger of Satan, that you get, like, your own little, like, Jason Voorhees-esque noise that comes with you that just is Satan, 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 Satan.
That's the real price of resurrection, is you have to have, like, an advertisement for Satan following yeah. you around then.
It's like those digital billboards people can, like, get paid to put on the top of their car, but it's just, like, it just says Satan on it.
Exactly.
Ugh. Yeah, the scene sucks. All the scenes with Richard Ramirez in this episode suck, which is unfortunately, like, a lot of them. Most of them, actually.
Yeah. The writing is so bad, and, like, I can't be too mad at the actor, because, like, he was playing a guy who sucks.
Yeah.
It's just, like, I don't want to see a guy who sucks, especially a guy who sucks, like, kind of succeed. I don't want to see Richard Ramirez happy. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. And again,
they keep showing me photos of Richard Ramirez smiling, and I don't like that. Stop doing that.
It's just like, and you could have rooted for this if it was, like, a fictional guy they just made up. Why the fuck did they do this? But whatever. Anyway.
So, then there's just, yeah, a montage of Jingles being kind of bored watching Ramirez kill people. Jingles kind of looks like shit at this point. They stop by a convenience store on their killer bro road trip. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Jingles, of course, mentions Tab because, hey, that was a product from, is that Snorks on the TV?
Yeah, remember Snorks? They're fucking acting like Tab, like, sponsored this episode. There's so much, like, product placement for Tab in this, like, opening sequence that I'm like, listen, I know they still make Tab because my grandma still drinks Tab, but, like, there's no way Tab was, like, sponsoring this. For as much as it's, like, present in this episode, there's no way.
It's purely the, hey, remember the 80s? We do, woo, thing, you know? Where it's like, again, it's that Stranger Things thing where, like, somebody uses a Light Bright for a signal, but they don't come out and, like, point the Light Bright logo at the camera like American Horror Story would. You know? It's,
Oh, gotta wait. Gotta get that tab. Yeah, that's right. Gotta get that tab. Jingles loves that tab. Yeah, and here's, we rapid fire. Rapid fire two more songs, which there was another licensed song at the end of that last scene. I just don't give a shit. But we go from listening to Black Sabbath, which is now like a fourth song, to Jingles changing the tape to REO Speedwagon. Like, this mm-hmm. is, they treat it like this is like a shift, like a poignant shift in some way.
Yeah, and when they cut between them in this scene, like, they'll change the song, but who cares? So, like, it doesn't, you know, yeah, it's not.
Also, it's not like, I don't think it's aggressive enough of a shift to really, like, hit as, like, a big point. Like,
right.
If they switch from, like, Black Sabbath to, like, Oingo Boingo, I'd be like, hell yeah. Like, if they kicked on, like, Only a Lad or some shit, I'd be like, wow, Mr. Jingles is fucking with Richard Ramirez. Like, he is screwing with him. But unfortunately, it's just REO Speedwagon, so it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, that's fine. They're fine.
But, like,
it's fine. Like, they kind of take it from Black Sabbath, which is like, they're fine. It's fine. To REO Speedwagon, where I'm like, yeah, it's fine. That's kind of like, that's dad rock.
So they're stopped in front of this little convenience store, and Richard Ramirez is like, you want anything? And he goes in. And then Jingles steps out, and he sees a newspaper, like, thing, like dispenser.
And he puts a quarter in because it's got Richard Ramirez's face on it that they're searching for people. And then he's like, I have, you know, he's thinking, I've had enough of this guy, you know. And he sees two women and he, like, gives them the newspaper and he indicates, like, he's in there, you know. And then he walks out. And I'm kind of like, what were you hoping they would do here, though, right? Like, you're a big guy. Like, they're, you know, two smaller ladies. Like, what are they going to fight him or whatever? Yeah.
Two small old ladies. So, old ladies, I'd like to point out. Like, elderly women.
Yeah.
So what it is they wanted to do what actually happened to Richard Ramirez. But also they wanted to somehow have Mr. Jingles be responsible. Because in reality, it was Richard Ramirez was like walking around and saw newspapers that had his face on them, realized he had been made. They knew it was him at that point. And then, yeah, like just some ladies who were hanging out saw him and yelled in Spanish, the killer, which they do in this episode. And then the entire community unloaded to beat this guy's fucking ass, which is accurate from what I looked up to the point of he runs and is like trying to escape the entire time while Paranoid by Black Sabbath plays. But he tries to like carjack somebody to like get in their car and drive away. And that's when someone runs up with a pipe and fucking clonks him big style. And apparently that is what reports say happened that day. So they just did what actually happened to Richard Ramirez, except instead of it just being a lady organically being like, oh shit, it's that guy. They have a weird guy walk up and be like, hey, I think it's that guy.
You guys should do something about that. I know that I'm like a huge dude, but like, I think you guys should handle it. I think this is for you.
It's like how Forrest Gump would accidentally kick off a historical event. It's cute and funny, except it's stupid and awkward here as a big guy is like, hey, ladies, I think you could get Richard Ramirez. And they're like, quick, let's get our gang friends to come in and do it because there's a huge mob waiting for him outside. So, like, again, I know it's accurate like that, but I'm pretty sure it didn't go down quite like that. But
yeah, whatever. Richard Ramirez, I mean, like, comes out of the 7-Eleven, and there's, like, 17 people waiting for him, but, like, that aren't saying anything. And he's like, what's this about? And then, like, he looks down and sees his own face on the newspaper and is like, whoa, how awkward, and then, like, tries to run away.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. But,
and, yeah, Mr. Jingles at this point, too, he, as like a larger guy who, especially if I'm a bit unkempt, I can understand I look like a bit threatening. There's like a concept you have to keep in your mind of like when it's okay for you to tell someone that like, cute kid. And like Mr. Jingles right now is fully like he, even if he was like being pleasant and clearly being kind, you just can't tell somebody like cute kid. Like you just have to be aware that you're not in a position that's socially acceptable. So, like, in that position, having him just be like, what do you think of that? Is, like, they would probably say, like, why are you talking to me?
Right, yeah.
Or, like, go away, please.
Like, he's your friend. I saw him in the car like, with you.
He got a year car.
Like, that, too, yeah.
Oh, my God. But it was Jingles the whole time. So they play out the whole sequence of Richard Ramirez being chased by the mob and then getting the shit rocked out of him like two blocks away. And then I guess Jingles was just driving around waiting to see where he would end up to get his shit rocked.
It's kind of funny.
He does finally like find him on the ground getting his shit absolutely like stomped out by this group.
He hits him with the fucking roll up thug life roll away.
Yeah, well, sipping a tab. So he's sipping a fucking tab in this fucking shot. It sucks so
That's
much.
A bitch. Yay.
Just driving off.
Pranked.
Oh my God. Yeah, got his ass. GG got him.
I wanted you to be sure I did this. In case you're like,
tell Cersei.
I know you're a serial killer and you probably feel stuff. So like in case you do get out at some point, I did do this. I want you to know.
Thanks for resurrecting me, stupid.
Yeah, good job, asshole.
Get fucked, buddy.
Why didn't Satan save you from this one, idiot? Yeah, huge.
Yeah, I guess Satan wanted the community to fall on you.
Get owned, stupid. Oh, God. Yeah, so just in case you guys are wondering, because the last episode, the last scene of the last episode, was them getting into a cop car that they stole and driving towards Los Angeles like they were about to start some big grand adventure. This is the end of that grand adventure. This is like, this is it. As far as like that part goes, we got that singular scene of them being in like a hotel and arguing with each other. And now this great betrayal by Mr. Jingles. And that's the end of the fun buddy cop arc of of Mr. Jingles and Richard Ramirez, the real serial killer.
This again is another moment of why you can't use Satan, right? Because like, if you're using Satan as just like a generic, he's into everything that's evil at all times, loves evil, doesn't really care the source or the means. Then Satan would probably see Mr. Jingles betraying someone who at this point is like kind of the closest thing he has to a friend, and getting him fucking owned and be like, nice. Like, that's the problem, right?
Right.
Is if you frame him as just universal evil, then when someone does something that's like intrinsically a little bit evil, even if it's against an evil guy, he still has to be like, yeah, I'm still into this.
Yeah. Like,
it's still net happiness went down. I'm smiling serenely.
Like, evil, like, I'm not thinking of thinking ahead, you know, because like, I don't have to be. I'm perfect evil. It's great. Like, but Satan, I'll kill less people. I don't care. That was funny, you know? Like,
yeah, Satan loves a bit. Everybody knows this. Is that Satan
I think he does, honestly.
Yeah.
I think this is like Impractical Jokers for Satan. Just like, yeah, all right, your next challenge, go into the bodega. All right, now you got to get him arrested and beaten, you know, but whatever.
I mean, that super holds up with the last season of Apocalypse. Like, he was putting Michael through all sorts of shit that was absolutely Impractical Jokers ass, like, yeah. Pranks.
Teleport to woods. Make a circle out of sticks.
Still not gonna talk to you, idiot. Yeah, I'm gonna keep embarrassing you.
Right,
Daddy.
Now you're tell her Billy Idol has to be played full throttle. Billy Idol has to be played full throttle.
And he just messes with him.
So just in case anyone's wondering, when we go to our next scene, in case anyone's like, Liz was maybe being a little ridiculous about, like, it's like it's early 1985. That's still, you know, continuation of, well, fuck you for doubting Liz, because it's 1989.
Yep.
That's right. We're out of there, baby. Not even a, it's like one scene and we're in 1989.
Yep. That's right. 1984. The season title is just the preface now. And
barely.
They have not bothered naming this character. According to Amazon, he's Birdwatcher, who is
predictably... is crazy, because later they'll have someone say his name. He literally, like, is named, but they don't give him a name in the credits, which is crazy. Like, they give characters who don't even speak in this show names sometimes.
Yeah.
And then
that's
in this one, he's just listed as Birdwatcher, but he has a name, like, 5 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his girlfriend mentions him, right?
Yeah. Justin, I think, or something, right?
So, yeah, Justin or Dustin or something. Yeah, he fully has a name. The way that this show specifically decides to name characters is baffling to me. Just truly, truly baffling. Because it's just a 50-50 of, oh, this character was in 3 episodes. Do they have a name? No, they're just, checks notes, Masked Clown 3. This character is in one scene and doesn't actually speak at all. Do they have a name? Yes, it's Justine. Thanks for asking. Like, insane. But yeah, this is, according to the overlay, Birdwatcher. This is Birdwatcher.
He's at Camp Redwood taking pictures of birds, predictably. But then he also sees this little cabin thing and there's somebody spray painted, Brooke, watch your blood. And then he takes a picture of it, which, like, here's the thing. If Brooke is going on 5 years and she's sort of the known quantity as a killer of Camp Redwood, this isn't like that great where you're like, I got to get a picture of this. But somehow this guy uses his film, which, by the way, 1989, you're probably on 35mm, like regular optical film. You're wasting your bird shots. Just throwing that out there. But okay.
I was going to say, yeah, older camera, if you're doing bird watching, you usually have lenses for like range, right? Mm-hmm. You got to be able to get long shots, get out there to the birds with your glass, because you're not going to get that close to them.
Right. But film cameras, though, it was like, you know, like you could run out pretty quick and you'd be kicking yourself when you see that like green-bellied Yaddle-ha or whatever the fuck, you know, and then it's like, oh, I used my
stupid camera on, you know, Brook Graffiti. Woe is me.
Graffiti for by children.
Yeah. Yeah. This is why I shouldn't be a bird watcher, says bird watcher. But anyhow, you know. And then he sees, like, Montana. I guess she's sunbathing on the end of the deck. Like, she's wearing, like, a bikini top and short denim shorts. But she's a ghost, so she can't really tan. All right. And he comes to, like, hey, what you want to, you know, he's like, oh, I'm taking pictures of birds. And the young he nerds out about all the birds he's trying to take pictures of. And she's like, you want to take a picture of me? Sure. You want my top on or off? He's like, oh, I don't know. Girlfriend's here.
I'm sorry. I just noticed something in the notes. Liz, you were the red notes today, yes?
Yeah, I'm red.
Did you... Sorry, seeing Jing Rez and seeing you make like a ship ship shorthand name for the most... the shortest lived couple in media.
Yeah, old Jing Rez. Yeah, that's shipped, them.
Shipped in hell, literally.
Yep. A match made in hell.
Oh God. Okay. Yeah. Sorry for interrupting. No. That just the word Jing Rez hit me like a truck.
No, I hear
that. Look at that three times.
Let's see though what happens. Oh yeah. So like. Oh yeah. And she's like, you know, he's like, yeah, I got this camera for my birthday. And then she's like, oh, what's that? My fanny pack. Which is like, all right, come on. You don't have to make this guy this like much of a dork, but whatever. And then she unzips his fanny pack, which and like reaches in, which like. It doesn't work. Like, I know what they're trying to do, but it's this horizontal zipper. It's not quite, yeah. And you wear a fanny pack up a little bit. It's just not happening.
And she clearly is rummaging through a fanny pack. Like, she is clearly rummaging through the fanny pack, which is very confusing.
Yeah, this is not working in the way I think they think it's supposed to, you know, where it's like, oh, that's sexy. But it's like, no,
yeah,
it
they're like, is this how straight people have sex? Do you, like, put your hand in someone else's pocket and just root around for, like, a chapstick? Is that foreplay?
Like, I think if this were, like, happening to me, I would be kind of like, what are you doing? Oh, I get it. Okay, I'm sorry. Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I would probably just be like, I can, like, take my belt off. Like, yeah. It's cool. I can just give you direct access.
Like, how coy are we going to be here, really? But, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Oh, you want to grab my dick? Okay, yeah, no, we can set that up.
Yeah. He's like, oh, he's like, you want to stick it in me, birthday boy? He's like, do I? He goes, me first, and pulls out a knife and stabs him, which I swear they have done, like, that exact setup has been somewhere in this series before.
Yeah, but... I want to say it was, like, season one. I want to say it was, like, season one, one of the ghosts, like, Hayden or whatever her name was. Like,
yeah.
A female ghost has definitely done this bit before of, like, do you want to stick it in me or are you going to stick it in me? And then her stabbing them, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, so, like, and then all of a sudden we see the ghosts from the 70s who we've never seen before. That is, like, the ghosts who died all the way from the first, like, massacre. And they're just, like, three of them, like, ugh, I can't believe this fucking bitch is killing somebody. And Xavier, like, kind of comes through and he's like, pipe down, assholes, killing, great. And he, like, makes out with Montana because he's all about killing, too, you know? Oh,
and the way... Yeah. Mm. The way you know that they're ghosts from the 70s and not just new characters we haven't met yet is that every single fucking one of them is wearing a t-shirt that says Camp Redwood Staff on it. That way there's no question whether or not you, the dumb fuck audience, could possibly think these were people that are not the characters from the 70s, even though the characters who died in the 1970s were not wearing shirts that said Camp Redwood Staff when they died, so they would not be wearing them now.
Some of them were naked.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, later on, they're going to rape.
You know, I don't think about it a lot. There'd be a lot of naked ghosts, huh, if that's how that worked. Well, there would be, like, a lot of naked ghosts, probably.
But you know what's crazy? Later on, they loot the campers for clothes because they're like, how do you think of this on me? And I'm like, wait, you can wear other clothes? You know? Which is, like, totally strange, but we don't get to.
They didn't want Montana to be wearing the same outfit for the whole thing. They wanted her in a bikini, and she wasn't in a bikini before. So they were like, well, She can put on different clothes. It's really funny because the scene where they do that, where they're looting the campers, she pulls out like a windbreaker, this like pastel colored windbreaker, and she's like, "What do you think about this?" And then Xavier, who's also a ghost, will be like, "Oh, that's great if you want to look like a soccer mom," which is funny because Xavier wears that exact fucking pullover in like episode 2, like that literal same pullover Xavier wears in episode 2. And I'm like, you guys couldn't have gotten more wardrobe for this? You couldn't have pulled out like 2 or 3 more shirts? You could have found more shirts for this? Ugh. But yeah, speaking of Xavier, as the 70s ghosts are all complaining, he comes up and he's like, "I'm nasty now."
What does he say, Liz? What does he say?
He's complaining. He's complaining about them complaining. But in case I've said this in previous seasons where Cody Fern is there, Cody Fern's really, really Australian. And sometimes he doesn't quite nail the American accent and like it'll just sound fucked up and weird. He did it in Apocalypse several times. But this one, he's going on a little rant about like, "Stop raining on our blood parade." But what he really says is, because he doesn't nail it, is he's like, "Stop waning on our blood parade." And they just went with that. They went with that shot. They didn't reshoot it or anything. They were
that
like,
take, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. This is fine that he sounds like he's doing the ooh-woo voice. It's okay.
Elmer Fudd, yeah.
Like, okay. And then that's when we realize that we're sticking to maybe one of the weirdest ghost rules of American Horror Story, which is that if you become a ghost, you just love to kill people. It's just like, if you become a ghost, you're going to love killing.
But still only sometimes, because the other camp counselors who died in our ghosts are like, "Come on, knock it off, relax, what's your deal?" Where it's like, Montana, I think, would have just kind of been, like, this feels like a reasonable enough pivot for Montana post-death. This is, like, in the realm of believable for who they have built Montana up to be. Xavier, this sucks. I think Xavier would just be, like, crying a lot at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would still be the thing, is, like, Montana would kill somebody, and then, yeah, Xavier would just have a breakdown and not be able to handle it happening again still. Be like, "I could have saved her like I could have saved Birdie, no."
Oh, man. And also, this kind of casts a whole thing where if you have Satan and there's a heaven and hell and all that, how do ghosts figure in? But who cares? Because now we have to remind everybody it's the 80s. So here's... we're going to show you what happened to Margaret with an old TV show called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, which I don't know if I'm dating myself too much. I don't know if people remember Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, but it was a really crappy show with a guy named Robin Leach who had a voice like this, and he would say, "Today we're looking at..." It was like Cribs.
It was Cribs,
like really,
yeah.
It was Cribs, yeah.
Yeah. It was...
Yeah. Yeah. I know it only through comedy media referencing it. Yeah.
I only know it from the Good like Charlotte song. Like, literally, I only know... about it existing from the Good Charlotte song of the same name.
That makes sense.
I'm old enough it was on TV, but like I never watched it because I was a kid, and what the hell do I care about some rich person's house, you know? But like, you know. But this is the framing mechanism they use to tell you what happened in 5 years to Margaret, who got rich selling like evil real estate. And that's a weird way to put it, but like...
Which they can't stop doing. They love having a plot point of, "What if you bought and sold haunted real estate?" Like, this has come up like 3 fucking times.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, haunted baby, what if a realtor sold you a bad house?
That was, that was all of season 1. That was the whole thing, you know? But...
and then also Hotel, and then also American Horror Stories. Yeah.
I feel like one of, like, Ryan are, like, insisting this is a great business idea and just can't let it go. Because, like, she's, like, selling Spawn Ranch, which is where Charles Manson's followers were all congregated. And the Westchester House, which, like, you kind of can't buy, is my understanding of it. Which is a famous haunted.
So you famously cannot buy that mansion. Like, there's no way.
Like, it's crazy to me. Like, but, like, they're like, not only can she do that, but she got rich doing it, you know? And also, she's married to Trevor. And you're like, wait, who is Trevor? Not the guy with the mustache who was banging Montana and like all and got stabbed by Margaret. Yeah, he survived, and
he's married to her, and then they pan out because Trevor's actually watching himself talk about this marriage on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. He's like, bullshit. It's like, you fucking said it, dude, but whatever. And he's like snorting, like, I'm so full of shit that I hate myself. He's like snorting coke and like drinking a J&B, which he calls out, because then like Margaret walks through and she's like, no, if you're gonna have an event at John Wayne Gacy's house, you need a clown selling ice cream. Like Gacy, get it? Ugh. And Trevor's drunk and complaining, and she throws her phone at him, and he's like, yeah, I almost spilled my J&B. And then we like get a small argument, which I'm like, okay, when I wrote this note, I'm like, oh, maybe the small argument's how they're going to catch us up on what happened, because he's like, you know, you remember when you gave up God and I'm here because I kind of blackmailed you? But then we get a full-on flashback to 1985. So we're gonna like, no, we're going to show and tell. That's the American Horror Story way. So, yep, Trevor, it's 1985. So, Liz, as you point out, Trevor stabbed in 1984. But he's in the hospital. He just woke up in 1985, you know?
Mid-1984, I should add. He got stabbed in July of 1984. But, like, he's got a glass bones disease, I guess. Or, like, whatever the opposite of Wolverine is. He has the opposite of what Wolverine and the X-Men has. Where, like, his body never heals a wound.
And it's like, it's also just like, I can't believe American Horror Story thinks so little of me that they're just kind of like, well, let's explain what happened, like, outside of, it's like, no, you just kind of told me with Trevor right now. But anyhow, so he's in the hospital bed and he's like, wow, Margaret, I can't believe we survived that. She goes, I know. He goes, and Brooke killed everybody. Yeah. And he goes, and you survived two massacres. It's almost like you were holding the knife. She's like, oh, are the cops on their way? And goes, no, no, no. I had some thoughts. He's like, I hate that Brooke's going to go to jail for your crimes, but you've got a lot of money, which is news to me, by the way. But whatever. He's like, you got a lot of money. You can hire a bunch of lawyers. So I could fight in court. But hey, how about I be your sugar daddy? You can be my sugar mom. And she's like, okay, opulence. But if that's the case, then we're going to get married. And he's like, why? She goes, because spouses, because you can't testify against your spouse, which is, by the way, absolutely not true. You can't be.
That would make divorce so hard.
Oh, yeah.
That would make divorce so hard.
You
just
would be like, trust me. There's a good reason. I can't tell you what it is.
I learned my spouse is a serial killer. Wish I could do something about it. Like, no, you can't be compelled to by court, right? But you can absolutely say, I changed my mind. This bitch killed people, you know? In fact, blackmailing her about it and letting Brooke die is probably enough to implicate you. Like, that's enough leverage that Margaret would have on Trevor to just pay him off and be done. But whatever. They get married. Yeah. And then, like, and yeah, because the thing is also, like, in Lifestyles Rich and Famous, they meant she had an investment from her late husband, which I'm like, okay, maybe they're just painting over this to say that she got money from killing her, like, this rich husband she had. But here in this scene, it's like she has the money already. Which I don't think she did during the events.
I don't blame you at all for being super fucking confused about it, because they do, in one passing scene, like in episode one, have her be like, yeah, I got all this money from my dead husband and he's the one who let me buy the camp. Oh, it's so sad that he's dead. And then, like, she never mentions it again. And by the way, she's only saying it to Montana, Brooke, Ray, Chet, Xavier. So Trevor's not there. So Trevor wouldn't know about her money. Only the counselors, quote unquote, would know about her money. And also, she doesn't like particularly act like somebody who has a lot of money, nor does she ever mention it. So, like, it's just a passing, like, oh, this also explains why I could buy the camp, as though we give a shit. Like, I don't care personally. Like, if she's I bought the camp, I'd be like, okay, you got a loan and bought the camp. Next question.
Yeah, I don't think too hard about how Dr. Robotnik acquires lands to build his theme parks, you know?
Like, I just
make the funny hedgehog run through them.
Like, four of the Saw movies kind of became this of, like, time to explain the logistics of how Jigsaw manages to do this each time.
Yeah.
And it got really, like, tedious.
But, yeah, so then we go back, right? And, they're, like, angry fighting slash, like, hooking up. But then Courtney comes in And Courtney is her assistant. Yep. And he's like, I had to come immediately to tell you in person. Brooke Thompson's going to be executed. And yep, that's a good question here, that you have here, which is like, wait, why did Brooke get executed if Mr. Jingles just got put into an asylum?
Yeah, because I mean, like, what they're doing, they're like yada yadaing here is that, like, yeah, when they showed up at the camp and saw Brooke with a knife, they're like, well, it's got to be her. She has to have killed these other 11 people. There's no other way. There's no way it could be anybody else. It's got to be her. Whereas that's kind of also what happened with Mr. Jingles, but like Mr. Jingles had like pre-existing information that like made them profile him, basically, of being like, oh, he's probably crazy because he's got PTSD from going to the war and he probably liked killing in the war too much and like that's why he went crazy. Brooke is just
he got
a lady.
Discharged for being too. Didn't they say he got discharged for like killing too much and for like cutting ears off and stuff? Am I imagining?
No, they
that?
Said
didn't
that.
They say that.
They said that, yeah, but I think it was Margaret. Okay. It was Margaret who said it, so who knows if that was true?
Because that feels like something that like the courts would be able to get the records from. You know, the military, a place that famously like loves records. Like they can't get enough of records, and like, if you get discharged for some reason, they write it down. They do keep track of that. they want to make sure.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Brooke is like the most boring woman that's ever lived on planet Earth. And up until like a few days ago, hadn't even had sex with anybody. And who knows if she even has, because she was technically fucking a ghost. Yeah, no, she was definitely capable of killing 11 people and setting up every booby trap in the world.
One of which, by the way, as a reminder, was a guy who was like against a wall and like putting a gigantic spike through his head, nailing him to the wall.
Brooke's really strong.
Brooke weighs like 110 pounds sopping wet. Like, this is not... I'm sorry. She couldn't do that. Or like the fucking nurse, the original Rita, who like broke a boat oar and like impaled it on the ground to make a fucking like Vlad the Impaler spike and then put her on top of that. Brooke did that.
People's skulls are really soft in the American Horror Story universe, just that they're like notably puncturable.
But yeah, just the idea that like the court system and all the jurors hearing this would be like, oh, she did it.
It's like... Yeah, and like no follow-up, no investigation is done, I guess. They're just like, yeah, that makes sense. We're not going to look into that. It is her word versus one other person. But like, I don't know. Also, I would like to remind everybody, like I said at the beginning of our fucking episode, Mr. Jingles is a known quantity on the loose and was a known quantity for being on the loose when this happened, and never gets accounted for ever. He never gets caught by the police. So, like, you'd think maybe there would be some question of, like, hey, do we maybe think the guy who did all the killings 10 years ago maybe had something to do with this since he did escape on the night that it happened?
Like, to have this have gone through in universe, it means the entire proceedings, like the entire 4 years of waiting up to this, Brooke never at one point said, also Mr. Jingles and Richard Ramirez were there.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if she said that at any point, they'd be like, we should look into that, because that's actually shockingly possible.
Also, I would like to remind everybody, one of the 11 people that Brooke allegedly killed is the fucking psychiatrist who specifically tended to Mr. Jingles in the asylum. Specifically
also,
that lady.
The cops would know who Brooke is because Brooke was someone who just fucking repelled Richard Ramirez.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But
holy shit. Well, anyway, everyone's stupid as fuck. Brooke did it. She's dying. Get fucked, Brooke. Fuck you. Like, man.
Incredible.
Can't wait to see what happens with Brooke.
You know, one thing I do, also, I Googled while we were here, I didn't realize this, but apparently this season is the highest rated according to Rotten Tomatoes. This is, like, the best season of American Horror Story per its audience.
Oh.
Stagger Tings.
Well, so it's obviously got to get great in these final three episodes, because so far, I don't know about that, you know.
At least Coven was fun. Yeah.
Coven second. Coven was good drama, not great horror, you know? Like, it was interesting, but it's, you know.
It was fun, yeah.
Yeah, not scary, but yeah, all right, which is kind of a prerequisite for American horror.
The part with the tuning exam to figure out who was going to be the next big witch, that was sick. They should do more of that. They should, what I'm saying is, fellas, you shouldn't be doing American Horror Story. You got it all wrong. You're doing American Horror Story, or you're taking stories of real serial killers and terrible people and trying to turn them into, like, fuckable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, just do anime, boys. You clearly want to do anime. Just do anime. Get in on that Netflix anime adaptation train. You could do it. They'd have so much fun.
I agree. But
Netflix Death Note 2. I can't wait. Well, sorry. Was reading through later parts of the notes and the scene that you titled. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back. Yeah, get ready to see Mr. Jingles retire to a village in Alaska to become a dog musher or whatever next time. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a great rest of your night.
Bye.